Okay, let me, and if you, some of you haven't finished, haven't had the opportunity to finish, you can do it in our next little session. We'll have one more session where you can do some talking. Let me share with you a few passages of Scripture. What does the Bible tell us about evangelism? And I picked a few of them because of some points that I think are important for us to know. In the Old Testament, do you know the Old Testament speaks about evangelism? Daniel makes one of the greatest statements, or at least the angel that's speaking, Gabriel, to him, to Daniel, right at the end of the book, says, "Those who have insight will shine brightly," or they know the truth, all right, "like the brightness of the expanse of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever." That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Do you realize that all of you, huh?
That's in the Bible?
That's in the Bible.
Where?
Daniel 12:3, okay? That all of you, one of these days, are gonna shine like stars. Matthew, Jesus says this, "The harvest is plentiful." In other words, there's never been a time in history when the harvest wasn't there. And you know why we know that to be true, even today? It's because the Scripture tells us when God finally, the last person that he knows is going to come to know him, Jesus, returns. All right? So there's a gospel that's being shared out there around the world that's changing thousands of people's lives. And it's happening every day. In some places, the Christian population is growing faster than the birth population because people are coming to Christ. They're so hungry for it. By the thousands, it's just amazing. And one day, it's going to be finished. All right? But he says that it's plentiful, but the workers are few. "Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The Lord is asking us to be a part of the harvest, right? You know, we need to ask ourselves, why are we here? Are we here as Christians in a great church just to enjoy that and learn and grow and mature? That's just part of it. We're to grow and learn and mature in order that we might be so amazed at what God is doing for us, we'll share it with other people. All right? And Paul says in Philippians 1, "I thank my God for all my remembrance of you with great joy, especially in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." What excited Paul most about these churches he started was they were sharing Christ all over the place. To the Thessalonian church, he said, "I can't go right now any place that I don't hear, oh, the Thessalonians have already been here and told us about Jesus." That was exciting. And so Paul is exciting to be a group of people participating together in the gospel, all right? It's why you'll hear in the sermons preached here on Sunday morning, they almost always end with, "If you want to know more, come forward." And you know what? People do. People do every week. It's amazing. Come forward in one way or another. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, he said, "Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth." Have you ever felt like you wanted to say something to somebody and you just weren't sure what to say? Here's Paul saying the same thing. "Would you just pray that I can get my mouth open?" All right? And he says, "To make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." So here's Paul asking fellow believers to pray with him, and he was asking for courage to share the gospel with boldness. Now that's important. We need backup people we know are praying for us. All right, it's going to be a very important point here in just a minute. J.I. Packer, who wrote one of the great books called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. If someone said, well, you know, God determines who's been to be saved and he has the elect, I hear, and so forth like this, so what difference does it make if I share the gospel or not, all right? In one sense, it doesn't. He's going to save everybody that he intends to save, all right? But on the other side, it does. It makes a whole lot of difference to you because God wants to bless you, and the scripture speaks of rewarding you for the way you live and who you talk to. There are over 70 mentions in the New Testament alone of rewards that God gives us. He's not required to. He just does. And he blesses us for the things that we do for his kingdom. He says, evangelism is not simply a matter of teaching and instructing. There's more to it than that. It includes the effort to elicit a response to the truth that's taught. See, asking for a response. And the reason for that, you not only inform, but you invite. And there's a reason for that, because when people hear, a lot of times, no one is there giving them that extra little nudge that the Holy Spirit wants. He uses us to do that, you see? And they can walk away, and just like the birds of the field can come and take away the seeds, as Jesus said in the parable of the sower. But when you ask them to respond, they have to make a choice. And that's important because their will is involved in the response. God never forces anybody to believe. Okay? And so asking them for a response means they're going to either accept it or they're going to turn it down. Okay? And that's now, it's clearly, it's on their plate. The ball is in their court. All right? Now, they may come back around later, all right? Because the Holy Spirit will keep working on them. Just like my friend said, I heard it 18 times before I came to Christ. Okay? So evangelism is not easy, is it? But why is it not easy? It's not easy, I think, for several reasons. I'm going to give you three ideas that help make evangelism easier, okay? And the way are focus, prayer, and plan, okay? Now, by focus, it means this, to ask, who are the people that God is putting on my heart that don't know Christ? Did any of you have unsaved relatives? I think everybody has an unsaved relative. Do you care? Of course you care, all right? Then they need to be a focus, all right? You have a friend you work with and you can kind of tell by the way they live, they're probably not a Christian, but I sure like them. Why do you like them? Because God has put something on your heart. They should be a focus, all right? A focus on who you want to share the gospel with. But the second thing is the most important, and that is prayer. Begin to pray for that person. Lord, how can I share the gospel with this person? They might not even, like, I've got people on my prayer list that I pray for regularly that don't live in Dallas. I've got about five guides that have led me in the nation of Israel whenever I've been over there. And they know the New Testament. They can tell us where Jesus did this and Jesus did that and all this stuff like this stuff, but they don't know Jesus, okay? And I'm praying for God to shine a light into their hearts. And one day, and I've written them recently, because of all the trouble that's going on over there. How can I pray for you? See, I'm trying to keep that door open in that sense. But prayer, and what's important is group prayer. All right, for example, if at your table right now, you told everybody in that group, here is Sam Smith that I am very concerned about, that I want to know Christ, would you agree to pray for him maybe once or twice a week for the next month? Just pray for him. There's not a single prayer that God doesn't hear, and especially a prayer for that salvation, because that's where his heart is. He's not willing for any to die apart from him. All right? Prayer is powerful, and it opens doors. It creates opportunities. It brings creativity to your own mind about, oh, I hadn't thought about this. All right? It opens their hearts, and it's when you find the right time and the right way to do this. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in to really help you in that way. Group prayer for non-believing friends is really fun, and it creates expectation. You see that friend again, they say, hey, anything happened yet? Well, not yet. Okay, I'm still praying, all right? Anything happened yet? Yeah, I called him on the phone the other day, and we had a good conversation. Great, I'm going to keep praying. What an encouragement that is when you've got people praying for you. The last thing is you need a plan. And the plan is this. What's the best way to approach these friends? Is it one-on-one? Or is it with another close friend? Two of you go, okay? That's a close friend of the person. Or is it inviting them to a concert here, the Christmas concert? And then afterwards going out for dinner or whatever you do. I won't suggest certain things you might drink. But anyway, but as you go out to say, what do you think of the service? Wow. Have you ever done one of these before? Yeah, I remember when I was a kid. Oh, tell me about it. This is conversation. Just tell me about it. Oh, and what was it you enjoyed about it? Oh, just the tradition of Christmas. I love it so much. Really? Yeah. How did you come to that conclusion? You see, in other words, you're just eliciting information, you know. And you could say, you know, Christmas has begun to be meaning even more and more to me because I really never knew a real person like Jesus. I didn't ever get that when I was growing up. Have you ever wondered yourself if Jesus was real? You're off. You're off to running. No, I hadn't really thought much about it. Would you be interested in talking some more about it? Yeah, maybe. Boom. Holy Spirit's at work. Well, let's get together for coffee next week and we'll talk about it. See? In other words, they've given you permission. They've opened the door. And that's what's exciting. That's so exciting. Now, they may not respond. That's okay, because it's the Holy Spirit's work. But you have done what the Spirit wants you to do because you've introduced truth into their life, and truth is what brings freedom, you see? Because they know there's something better. Let me finish with these thoughts, just a summary. Jesus expects us to go and share. He told his disciples to tell the world, go into all of the world and make disciples. Well, discipleship starts by, first of all, helping people find out who they're being discipled to. Okay? That's evangelism. And Jesus said, what's exciting is Jesus also said, if you abide in me, then you will bear much fruit. Already a promise that something's going to happen at some point in time, in some way. What helped me most was seeing the gospel shared. That first encounter, watching somebody do that, is what changed me. Because I realized, gosh, this person sat there and listened to the gospel. And all we did was just kind of read through a little pamphlet. A real short, little brief presentation of the gospel. And then it asked, would you be interested in knowing Christ further? You see? This little thing right here. God loves you and created you to know him personally. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Point two, people are sinful and separated from God, so we cannot know him personally or experience his love. This is where you begin to help them understand repentance. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. And through him alone, you can know God personally and experience his love and his plan. And fourthly, we must individually, here's the invitation, receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then we can know God personally and experience his love and plan for us. What was that? 75 seconds. Right there. Done. All right. Now, questions? Yeah. Oh, they'll start having questions and what have you. And we'll talk some more about that in a minute. So seeing it really gave me some confidence. Having this a clear, simple understanding of the gospel, which is what I just said right there. Now, this is really shallow, okay? But it's how you start, because they're shallow. First of all, they're dead, okay, spiritually. So they're not ready to go into election and providence and the Old Testament and everything else. Lastly, having that simple presentation kept me focused, because that's what I was there to do, and I knew what to say. And having prayer partners increases the possibility of fruit and keeps me accountable. Because I've told some other people, I'm wanting to pray, I'm wanting to share Christ with someone at some point. And here's the name. And so every time I see him, what's happened? See? I forgot about it, or whatever. It's all right. You just keep going because you've set that up. Some people take a long time. My brother-in-law, my wife and I prayed for 10 years for him to come to Christ, and he did. My father-in-law, we prayed for 30 years, and he came to Christ on his deathbed. Some people do take a long time. That tests our patience and so forth. One story, and then I got some other questions for you. It'll be faster for you. George Mueller was a famous Englishman at the turn of the century, and he had a heart burden for young orphans. And many, many, many children were orphans at that time because of illnesses and so forth, parents that worked in the mines and coal stuff and died early and stuff. There are lots of orphans running. It's the whole reason we have Oliver Twist's story and, all those other stories. But he was burdened for them. So he gathered up as many of them as he could in one particular neighborhood, and then he would just pray for God to provide. And for years, God just kept providing to feed these orphans. And he was teaching them the gospel and what have you. When he died, or on his deathbed, his two sons, who were going to take over his ministry, said, "Dad, you've been praying for years for a whole lot of people, but there are two people that I know were good friends of yours that have never come to Christ. What about them?" And he said, "Oh, they'll come to Christ." "Well, how can you be so sure?" He said, "Do you think God would have kept those two people on my heart for 30 years if they weren't going to come to Christ?" And 2 years after he died, both of them came to Christ. You see, because God hears your prayers. All right? And he's a merciful God. Now, on your table, two more questions. And that is this. Who are you interested in that you would like to know Christ? All right? So I'm giving you a card that I took off the wall of the post office, the 10 most wanted. Who could become your 10 most voting? What I'd like for you to do now is just say, who's one or two that come to my mind? You don't have to fill out this list now, but ask God to put on your heart who to pray for, all right? I've had a list like this for years, and it's been one of the greatest privileges of my life to see people come to Christ. Greatest privilege, sharing Jesus with someone and watching them come to know Jesus. The cards are on the table, and then you have these two questions. So, second set of questions right there. Yeah. Who will you put on your list, all right? And what do you need most to be more effective, all right, in sharing your story of the gospel? Do you need a more clear, simple presentation? Do you need an accountability group? Do you need an opportunity to see the gospel shared? Okay. One thing, all right, y'all work on that, and you're just about out of time. I don't want to hold you up here too much. But I want to say this, and Cam is here, and she can pass this on. Cam, Walker, or JP, or me, all right, will go with you anytime you want to share Christ with someone. Anytime. Once. Because if you want to see it, okay? One caveat, they need to know why I'm coming. And just that, I'd like for you to meet someone from our church that would like to tell you their story. That's all you have to say, their story. And I'll be more than happy to go with any of you anytime to share Jesus. And what I might do is just use this. That's all I'll do. All right. Then, once you've seen it, it'll take a lot of fear away. Really helps. Really helps. And you've got a group of people that are around you that are going to be praying for you. You know, hey, I'm going, but there's, guess what? There's five other people praying for this appointment today. I already know something's going to happen. I already know it. All right? Not that they will trust Christ at that moment, but the Spirit of God is at work because He's listening to our prayers, okay? And He wants to do something. It's the most exciting thing you can ever see, whether they respond at that moment or not, okay? All right, so talk a minute about who would you want on here right now? All right, who's one or two people? You might be able to write 10 right now, but whatever, just one or two people, and then ask the question and just share, what do I kind of feel like I need most, all right? Okay, Cam, I'll put you on the spot now. They may be asking you to go. All right? So, all right. Do a little talking, and then we'll close in just a few minutes, because I know we're almost done.